Did you guys see the new clock?
Master can see the new clock now too.
I can. Yep. Amen. It is so good to be able to see the clock. Yep. Yeah, we got that at Hobby Lobby, I got to tell you. So, yeah, Kim and I went to Hobby Lobby, and they were having their clearance of spring items. If it just has a tag on, I don't know that it looks like spring, but if it just has a tag that says spring, what is it? I don't know. They were 90% off. 90%. Plus, we got an extra discount because it was for the church, so they gave us more off of it. So, usually, I mean, to me, I don't know. I'm cheap, so it was tagged at 110, and I was like, oh, that's crazy. We got it for $10. So, yeah. If $9.50, okay. So if you're not from Indiana, you may not know this, but one of the things about Hoosiers is we've got to tell people when we get a buy on something. My wife teases me all the time because I can't walk in after going to the grocery without like going through the list of how much I saved on everything. But it's a Hoosier thing. When we were at Hobby Lobby, I noticed they've got the Christmas trees out.
Oh, yeah.
And I know sometimes a lot of folks, probably including me.
Go ahead and put it on your calendar. Usually the first Saturday in December, Brad, is that usually when we do our Christmas decorating party?
Yeah, usually.
So go ahead and put that on your calendar.
Yes.
September and December.
Because it's a big deal. The place is beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, after Hobby Lobby. So, you know, I was thinking about that because I know a lot of times, whether it's for Halloween or Christmas or whatever decorations, they bring them out so far in advance. And sometimes I don't know if it's complaining, but I'll certainly say something about that. Or I hear a lot of other people do that. And I started thinking about back in the day when I was a kid, and I've mentioned this before, but the Sears Christmas Wish Book, anybody else had those? And I mean, to me, that was a huge deal as a kid when that would come. And I looked it up the other day. I thought, surely that, you know, that must have come out in like November. It was like September. I don't know if you guys remember that. So I thought, they've always pushed Christmas 5 months before it got here. It's not a new thing at all. It's been happening a long time. But I remember each year getting that Sears book back before internet and all that stuff. And we still had black and white TV probably. But it was all these colorful pictures of toys and stuff, and I would go through that, and I would look at that, and I'd come up with my wish list, you know, of course, we didn't. Praise the Lord, my parents wouldn't spoil me and give me all that stuff, but I remember doing that. It's just such a huge thing, but I thought, you know, sometimes I approach the Lord with a list, a whole lot like that list that I had from the wish book from Sears, where I'd say, Lord, here's my wish list, God. Here's what I want. And, you know, God is so gracious. He really just invites us to come however we are. And he just loves his kids. You know, my singing is not on pitch, and my prayers are not always selfless and holy, but he just loves his messy kids. So it's good, you know, just to praise him and to pray. And there's grace, you know, for our messiness. But, you know, I was reading in Acts 20, the words of Jesus, it said, the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give to receive. And I thought, what do I have to give to God? You know, whether it's prayer or whether it's on Sunday morning or just with my life, because he's got everything, right? What do you give to the person who's got everything? Well, he owns it all, right? And I thought, well, you know, what he wants is our praise. He wants us to have joy in our hearts that's just welling up in praise to him. And he wants us to be grateful, you know, to have thankfulness for things. And I think about songs that we sung as a kid. You know, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? yeah, you know it. You know, and I thought that's what the Lord wants. You know, he wants us to be so full of his joy, so full of his word that it just wells up in praise and joy for him. And so today I'm really happy. We're going to look at Psalm 100. If you'd open your Bibles to Psalm 100. And this is our last week in this series. We've been talking about how it's good to pray the word of God back to God. You know, following Jesus, it's all about relationship with him. Just like it's, You know, it's about relationship with your family. It's about relationship with God. It's not about a religious thing. And I've heard people say before, I don't know about Jesus. I'm not into religion. I'm like, that works out great because he's not into religion either. You know, he's into relationship with you. That's why he went to the cross, not to make you religious, but to make you new so that you could have a relationship with him. And so we've been talking about just, you know, as we read the Word of God, understanding that these are his words. This is the written word from the living word speaking to you. But it's also good to speak his words back to him, to pray the Word of God. And so today, Psalm 100, this is a joyful prayer.
Yeah.
A joyful prayer of thanksgiving and of praise. It starts out a psalm. Your English translations may have a heading there, a psalm for giving grateful praise. Literally, in the Hebrew, it says for a thank offering. This is a song, a prayer to offer to God as a way to thank him, to say, God, you're so good. You're so awesome. I just want to praise you as a thank offering and to give this joyfully back to God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You know, looking at the context of this psalm, this comes after some other psalms. It's a grouping of psalms. Psalms of ascent, that the people, as they're approaching the temple, they're going up to worship God and to praise him. And this is one of those psalms that was used to celebrate who God is, that the people, as they gather together and lift up the name of God and to praise him, they would all sing this together. And this would be part of their sacrifice. Back in the day, they didn't just sacrifice those animals as a precursor to what Jesus would do, but they would sing these as a sacrifice to God, and literally not only giving him words, but giving him hearts. God said, saying, God, this is our thoughts and our hearts. This is our lives just laid bare before you. And God, this is a sacrifice to you. You know, in light of God's nature, as people who love the Word of God, and we understand as we read the Word of God that God is holy, that God is powerful, he's loving, he's faithful, he is all-knowing, that the people back then, the people of Israel, they knew this too. They had the Old Testament, and they knew the nature of God, and so they would come together, and for them, they understood, you know what, we were a people who, we said it earlier in that reading, people who were once outside God's mercy, now we have received mercy. We are the people of the mercy of God. And the people of Israel, they understood that. They're like, we've got so much reason to be thankful and happy and joyful, and because we now, we're the people of God. We've got his covenant. We've got promises of God that he is working on our behalf, that he loves us. We're also people of covenant. We understand through the blood of Jesus that he loves us, that he has saved us, he is an awesome God, and that we have reason to praise him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise, giving thanks to him, praising his name. First of all, first thing for us to recognize today, if you want to fill out your bulletin, there's a space there for that, there's some fill in the blanks there. Praise and thanksgiving. As we worship God, as we pray, you know, our prayers are not just about it is good to be reverent, you know, it's good to be still and know that he is God, but it's also in prayer you can be joyful and you can praise his name. Praise and thanksgiving, it acknowledges God for who he is and what he has done. Something that I learned from one of my mentors long ago, that when I start out my prayer time, and I pray different ways at different times as God leads me, but one of the ways that one of my mentors taught me was always start with God. You can get to you and your request, and you can get to you and your mess, but start out with him because he's awesome, and he deserves that. So I start out with him, God, you are so amazing. You are sovereign. You are creator. You are redeemer. You are holy. You are powerful. You are wise, God. You are loving. You're forgiving. You're merciful. God, you are awesome. Starting out with those praises for him and thanking him for what he's done. Even though he is a wonderful creator, and I ran away from him in rebellion and sin and was walking in death and took up the weapons of a rebel in my life with my tongue and my actions, he did that for me. He went to the cross. He is worthy of our praise every day. So I start with that. God, for who you are and what you have done to save, I praise you today. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, there's a picture of worship going on in heaven. You know what? It's wonderful to read. It's wonderful to look forward to, but you don't have to wait. You can praise him today. You can say, God, you are holy, you are awesome, and I praise your name. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what who is around you, you can praise God today for who he is and what he has done and what he's doing today, for his mercy in your life. I remember years ago, I went to my youngest son's elementary school. I was having lunch with him. They invited the parents to come that day if they wanted to come and have lunch, and so I came. I'm having lunch with him, and I'm just being me. You know, I'm not trying to, I'm praising the Lord. You know, we're sitting there, and before we eat, I'm just like, God, you are awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for your mercy on these kiddos today, God. Thank you for this food that we've got before us. And I'm just, and my son's embarrassed, which I understand, but he's like, Dad, we don't do that here. I'm like, oh no, your dad does this everywhere. Because God is worthy of it, right? Amen. Amen. So we praise him with joy and with thanksgiving because he's a good God. He is awesome. We get to take part in that. Verse 3, we know that the Lord is God. He is God. It is he who made us. Some of your translations say, and not we ourselves, but we are his. We belong to him. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Isn't it good to have the Lord as your shepherd? Woo! That's exciting for me every day. No matter what else is going on, he's taking responsibility of me. I'm one of his sheep. He's a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes, he is.
My shepherd. That means no matter what's going on, right? He's got me. He's got me. It is wonderful to know. We are his. We're his children. He's a good father. We can depend upon him. Because the Lord is good. Verse 5, the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that awesome? His love endures forever. It never fails. It never ends. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Dale said it a little bit ago, even on those days when we are faithless, he is faithful. He is a good and awesome God. And not only to us, but to future generations. I'm excited for those kiddos down there.
Yeah.
And the kiddos up here, I'm excited because I believe that God has a great plan for their lives. He is going to continue to make himself known to them, and they are going to make him known in a world that some of us are not going to see, right? And I'm excited. He's going to raise up mighty men and women of God from these children. I believe it. I believe it. We approach our Father with joy and with adoration for who he is, for what he has done. We express our thankfulness for his goodness to us, his unending love, his faithfulness. Praise and thanksgiving, though, we need to understand, listen, praise and thanksgiving are actions of the will. Praise and thanksgiving are actions of the will. It involves a decision. There are times where you don't feel like praising him. There's times when you just don't feel like praising him or giving him heart. Listen, our joy fluctuates, right? Our thankfulness fluctuates. We have bad days. Pastor James has some off days sometimes, right? But God doesn't. God doesn't. He is always deserving of our praise and thanksgiving. And so no matter how we feel, we make this decision, I will praise him. I will praise him. I'm going to praise him and thank him today, no matter what. With the will, we decide to do that as we pray. Emotionally, we have limitations on that sometimes. But we can still decide to praise the Lord, to thank him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, the Apostle Paul instructing us. He says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Paul didn't write, feel grateful. I'm glad he didn't, because sometimes I don't feel grateful. I should. But there's times I don't feel grateful in every circumstance. But he says, you know what? You can thank God in all circumstances. Whether you feel it or not, thank Him anyway, because He deserves it. Give thanks to God. Even though we don't feel it emotionally, we can still choose a decision of the will to give thanks and praise to God today. Psalm 34 in verse 1 says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Amen. Amen. You know it. At all times. Amen. You know, we talked last week about Psalm 13 and how King David, he wrestled with his thoughts. He talked about, I struggle with my thoughts, and he was depressed in his emotions, and he was in difficult circumstances, King Saul trying to kill him, and yet he made a decision of the will. He said, I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to praise God anyway because I believe God. God says He's got me. Whether I feel it, whether I think it, I believe God over my emotions. I believe the Word of God over my circumstances. I believe God over everything. I take God at His word. He says, I know the Lord is good. He is loving. He is patient. But I also like it when my emotions come along for the ride. It's good when we feel joyful, right? I like it better when I feel grateful. To me, there's a completeness to it. There's an exclamation point on my praise when I'm full of joy. So it's good when our emotions get to come along with that, and we feel good about praising God, and we feel good about worshiping Him and thanking Him. And our joy can be encouraged. Our joy can be encouraged. There are ways for us. God has given us some ways. We'll talk about a few of those today, but God has given us a few ways to encourage our joy, to rekindle that fire of joy within us, some encouragement, because I want my praise. God is worthy of joyful praise. And I don't want to be just like I'm singing a funeral march. You know, there's a time and a place for that, but it's not right now. If there's not a funeral going on, it's not the time for a funeral march. When I'm praising God, it is a time for joy, right? For rejoicing. And there are ways that our joy can be encouraged. Recalling God's nature and His attributes encourages our joy. Psalm chapter 6 tells us, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Sing glory to His name. His name reveals His character. His name reveals His attributes and His nature. Shout for joy to God. All the earth, sing glory to His name. Make His name glorious. The names of God reflect who He is. And so when you take time and you read the Word of God and you're reflecting upon God's nature and His character and His attributes, that makes me happy. When I think about who God is, you know, maybe I'm struggling with the way that the enemy is attacking me in some fashion in my life, but I read about my God being a mighty God who always wins. The devil can throw anything he wants at me. I mean, I like it, but my God's got the situation under control. The devil's on a short leash.
Yeah, he is.
And it brings joy into my life and into my praise when I think about the attributes of my God. My God is infinite. He is infinite. You cannot measure Him. You cannot define His size or His power or His wisdom or His love. He has no beginning. He has no ending. He has no limitations. Romans 11 tells us, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths are beyond tracing out. I'm in awe of the infinite nature of God. I'm in awe when I think about the infinite nature of our God and how measureless His wisdom is and how measureless His grace is and His mercy and His love. He is an awesome God, and it helps me to feel joyful to remember that. God's sufficiency encourages my joy. The self-sufficiency of God encourages my joy. He is the I am. He is the one who is entirely self-sufficient within himself, and that means that no matter what the need is of the whole human race, God can meet it. And he has met it at the cross. Our greatest need was met right there. He is a sufficient God. He is self-sufficient. He is all-sufficient. I have joy when I think about the sufficiency of the blood of Christ, dealing with all my guilt, all my shame, all my sin, all my weakness. He is an awesome, sufficient God. That is a joyful thing to think about. In John 6:35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." He is all I need. Jesus is all I need. I've heard it said that you don't know that he's all you need until he's all you got. If you've lost somebody, you know, that's dear to you, that you depended upon, you know what I'm saying. It's tough. And he invites our honesty and our grief, but at the same time, he's letting us know, listen, I'm with you in that pain, and I'm weeping with you in that pain, but I'm the one you need. He's the one we need. I wished I'd known that in high school. It would have saved me a lot of stupid decisions. It encourages joy in my life to know that Jesus is sufficient, and he is the one that I need, and he's the one I've got. He's our salvation. Man, the joy that gives me to know that. The angel told Joseph in Matthew 1, Mary will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means salvation. He is Savior. When I think about that, that my God is Savior and he is my Savior, the joy that I have in my Savior. My God is victorious. You know, one thing my God cannot do is lose. Amen? Amen. No matter what it is, he never loses. He is always victorious. And there's the great victory right there over our sin. Jesus crucified, dead, buried, rose again on the third day in victory. Rising in victory for you. Jesus Christ, that powerful declaration that God has won the day. God has won over Satan. He has won over sin. He's won over all the principalities of darkness. He is victorious always. In Acts chapter 2, it says it was impossible for death to hold him. He cannot be defeated. Now, if you've got it in your mind that somehow on this side of the boxing match on the ring is God and on this side is Satan and it's some kind of equal match and you sure hope God wins, that is wrong thinking. It's already won. And listen, Satan's just a created being. He is no rival to God, okay? Not even close, right? He's not a close second, okay? He is defeated. He is defeated. My God is present. Brings me great joy to think about the fact that my God is not just a God who is in heaven, but my God is a God who is here right now. Mighty to save, mighty to love, mighty to heal. And it brings great joy to my life to know that he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is personally present. If you know Jesus Christ, I'm glad you're here. And he manifests his presence sometimes in a way that we have a more heightened awareness that he is with us sometimes when we're together. But you don't need to come here to find him. He's with you, right? You know, I go to Walmart and I sometimes it'll enter in my head. I didn't come here looking for Jesus. I brought him with me. And he's got an agenda here. And he is ruler here. And he's got a word for somebody. And I pray, God, would you give me a word for somebody today that's going to draw them close to Jesus? It's going to end up in your glory. Would you give that to me? And he does. Sometimes. It's according to his will, not mine. He doesn't work according to my schedule. But he's present with us all the time. And just to know that, no matter what happens to me today, no matter what the situation, no matter how inadequate I feel in a situation, my God is able and he's with me. And he is with you. You know, the Lord tells us in his word that there's a time coming when you're going to be taken before kings and rulers and because of the name of Christ. And he said, you don't need to worry about what you're going to say. Because the Holy Spirit's present. The Spirit of Christ is within you in power and in wisdom to guide you and to lead you. He is present and he is always present. And God is love. God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, the Apostle John wrote, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for my sins, for your sins. Love beyond measure. Love beyond measure. Love that is so great, that is greater than all of our sins. Love that the Father would send his only Son to save you, to bring you into that relationship with him. It's intimate. It's personal. He loves you. Yes, he loves us all, but he dearly loves you. He knows your name. As I meditate upon God's nature, his power, his presence, his love, his mercy towards me, which I need every day, it just fills my heart with joy. And eventually that joy has got to spill out, whether it's in the school cafeteria or Walmart, right?
Yeah.
No matter where you are, that joy of Jesus just welling up in thanksgiving, remembering God's blessings, encourages our joy. You guys remember that old song, "Count Your Many Blessings"? Anybody want to sing it? Count your blessings. Yeah. Right. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Amen. Every day of our lives, man, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. Now I think about, in Scripture, it talks about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. And he told them to go to the temple, right? And one came back. The Samaritan came back. One came back and offered thanks to Jesus and glory to God. But that's the right thing to do with every blessing. Has God blessed you?
Amen.
Anybody else? God has blessed me today. Has God done anything for you? A great response is, "Oh God, thank you. You are so good to me. You are such an awesome God. You are so generous. You're so gracious, God. I just want to praise your name." That's a good response, to praise him and to thank him, to let that joy just well up inside you and to share it with other people. You know, one of the things that happens here as we sing the praises of our Lord, you know, certainly it's for an audience of one. That's why I sing. If it were for you guys, I'd keep my mouth shut because I don't sing very good. You don't want to hear me, but he does. And that's who I'm singing for. That's why I don't care whether I can keep a tune or not. It doesn't matter. I'm singing for him.
Yeah.
And he loves to hear that joy. He loves to hear that thankfulness.
Joyful noise.
Amen. That's what I do. I make a joyful noise. I want to be thankful. I want to be thankful. That's the real beauty of receiving a gift, you know? We got granddaughters now and a grandson. I was going to get there. Four granddaughters, one grandson. We got grandkids. And we love to get them a little something that's going to make them smile, you know, whether it's like a little squishy fish or, I don't know, some kind of little toy or a new book or whatever, new princess dress or something. But it's cool just to see their happiness and their joy with that. But you know what's really neat is when one of them like throws a big hug on you and says, "Thank you. I get it. You love me. I get it. This is a cool thing, but you love me. That's the point." That's God's point for blessing you. He loves to meet your needs, and he's doing that. But he wants you to get it. He wants you to get it. He loves you so much. And the great response is, "Thank you." Let me just, with my song, God, with my prayer, let me just throw my arms right around you because you are so good. I love you back. Thank you. Believing the word of God, believing God's promises, taking him at his word, encourages our joy. In Mark 11, God's word says, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in your heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believing that you have received it, it will be yours." Now you've got to get it right. Sometimes we read the word of God and it's maybe a promise that's meant for Israel, or it's meant for Joshua, or it's meant for whomever. But if it is a promise for the people of God that he gives to you, believe it. Take God at his word. Believe what he says. You know, that's one of the things. We went to see C.C. Winans down at the fair. It was a great time. We went down there to worship with thousands of our other brothers and sisters down in Indy. And one of the beautiful things that C.C. said was, with one of her songs, "Praise him like you've already received it."
Yeah.
Because if he's promised it, it's as good as done, right? And that's true. That's true. If he has said it, you can believe it and praise him that way. Because he keeps his word. He is faithful. Believing God's promises. Believing his promises. That encourages my joy. Amen. He cannot lie. He cannot lose and he cannot lie. Gathering with God's people encourages our joy. In Psalm 122, King David wrote, "I rejoice with those who said, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" I rejoice with those who said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." David's saying, listen, I am excited. I'm going to go to the place where God is worshipped with his people, and this is going to be great. I hope you feel that way. I hope you have that joy as we gather together each week. It is exciting. It is exciting. All we do, listen, it's cool how God works in us and through us, but all we do is come to a table that Jesus has set, and then who knows what he's going to serve, right? It's going to be good because it's him. It's him. All glory to him. And so we come together as the people of God, and it's exciting because Jesus is with us and he's got a plan for this morning. He's here right now. I guarantee you, he's speaking to some hearts and minds in this congregation today.
Yeah.
I'm one of them.
Amen.
For our good and his glory. Amen. It is exciting, though, to come together with the people of God. It is joyful. We'll finish up with this last one. Singing joyful songs. Singing joyful songs encourages our joy. If you were singing, listen. I'm not talking about style. I like every style. Some of you guys will be shocked at some of the CDs I have from back in the day. I love every style of music. If it exalts Jesus, it doesn't matter what style it is to me. But I will say, there are some songs that, with the lyrics and the music, are just kind of this plodding, depressed. You know, and there's a time for that. You know, I guess there's a time for remorse and you know that's fine, but I want to enter into his presence with joy. You know, I want to, it is to come together as God's people, his redeemed people. Man, that's a good, joyful thing. And to sing joyful songs. And it encourages our hearts when we sing songs that are joyful. That's why I don't listen to the music I used to listen to before I was saved. Some of you, if you don't know my past or you don't know my testimony, I was a music addict. I was immersed like 24/7 in a world of music, along with drugs and alcohol and all that other insanity. But it was an idol for me. I walked away from playing guitar for 10 years because if I picked it up, it was the flesh, and I couldn't do that. When I got saved, I stepped away, and then I tried being on a worship team for a little while, for a youth worship team, but even after doing that a little while, I just thought, I've got to break free. That's got a hold on my heart in a way that doesn't glorify God. My flesh is in it. But I learned something over time that, not that all those songs were bad, but all the stuff that I used to listen to before I knew Jesus that doesn't exalt Jesus just doesn't speak to my heart anymore. It doesn't make me happy. It doesn't bring any joy. But the new songs that I'm singing that exalt his name, especially those joyful songs, man, it just lights a fire in my heart. It's wonderful. that joy wells up inside me, and I'm just glad. He has made me glad. Verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness.
Yeah.
With gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to close here in a second. I know I'm running long. Thank you guys for staying with me. In Ephesians in chapter 5, the Bible admonishes us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in Colossians 3, the Word says we need to be filled with the Word of God. We need both. Okay? My empty head needs filled with the Word of God, and my evil heart needs overpowered with the Spirit of God. I need both. Both those sections, both those passages talk about what happens when we are. We're filled with the Spirit, and when the Word of God is indwelling in us, that we will be joyful. That's one of the evidences. We will be a joyful people, and we will be thankful. We'll be a thankful people, and we will be submitted to God. We'll be a submissive people, submitted to Him, His authority over our life. Jesus is my King. He's in charge. I'm not. The steering wheel is His in my life. When the Holy Spirit is in control, when the Word of God is just saturating our lives, we are joyful, we are thankful, we're submitted to Him. I want to encourage us, the worship team is going to come back up and lead us in another song of worship. And I don't want to orchestrate anything, but I do want to invite. Something really good happens when you just get outside of you. You know, when you, the Bible says to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord, right? That's the whole of who you are, that you give Him your heart, you give Him your mind, you give Him your actions, your words, everything as an offering. Because you're thankful for what He's done to save you, and you give that back to the Lord, and something wonderful happens when you just, one of the ways that I start each Sunday, I invite you to maybe pray this now. God, give me the miracle of self-forgetfulness. It's what my wife was asking for earlier. God, give me the miracle of self-forgetfulness, because it's so easy for me in my flesh to be all about me. What are people going to think if I raise my hands? What are people going to think if they hear how bad I sing? And I just say, God, just get that's junk. Just get all that out of my heart and out of my head. You are worthy of joy. You are worthy of thanksgiving. You are worthy of undivided attention. Help me just to worship You, God. In the power of Your Spirit, God, and help me to just, as because I just want to say thank You. All these blessings, Lord. The blessings of being here with Your people today. God, I just want to say thank You. Help me to do that, Lord. Get me outside of me. All focus on Jesus, the Son of God who died for me. God, just everything on You. God, help me to just lay myself at Your feet just to worship You. I would invite you to do that this morning. Just thank Him. He's so good.
With that, please stand.